trust me.
Dude, you trust me.
Trust me. I'm like a smart person.
Yeah, I've never lied to you. I never have lied to you.
You think that one person has all the answers?
Don't!
Welcome to Trust Me, the podcast about cults, extreme belief, and the abuse of power from two fucks who actually lived. Fuck, I didn't mean to say fucks. Should we keep fucks?
Yeah, I like it.
I am Lola Blanc.
And I'm Megan Elizabeth.
And today our guest is Noelle Wells. You have possibly seen her on television on SNL or Master of None or in her own movie, Mr. Roosevelt, which she wrote and directed, or possibly you've heard her music. And today we're going to be talking about the experience that she had with a scam psychic on a psychic retreat weekend.
After we interviewed her, she actually contacted the psychic again and asked for her money back.
Yeah, it's pretty juicy. Stay tuned. But before we do that, Megan, what's the cultiest thing that happened to you this week?
Okay, the cultiest thing that happened to me this week is I can't stop getting excited for Thanksgiving, even though I know it's like the most evil holiday ever.
So you're in the cult of whiteness.
Yeah, I'm in the cult of America. Like, I know Thanksgiving is not good, but I can't stop wanting to like add foods to the list and people and getting excited. It's really weird.
Hang on. Are you doing a gathering for Thanksgiving?
I'm going home.
Oh, wow. Well, first of all, please get tested first.
Yes.
And be careful.
Believe me, I am. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's understandable because we grow up having these like warm, fuzzy memories.
Exactly.
Of delicious food and family gathering. And they don't, if you know, if they're not talking about the origins of Thanksgiving and the terrible things that white people did to Native Americans, then of course it's not going to be like ingrained in our bodies. We have to like remind ourselves,
right?
Deprogram our whiteness.
It's really deprogramming, you know? And like, it just reminds me of when you speak to somebody who's in a cult and that kind of cognitive dissonance of knowing that something is weird, but having this fuzzy feeling about it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Look, no one can hate on eating a little turkey. There's nothing wrong with eating a little turkey.
Absolutely not. I mean, turkeys might disagree, but, you know, turkey's great.
I truly did not know about the, like, the horrors that white people committed to make America what it is until I was, like, 24, because they just did not teach us in Michigan at all, like, nothing at all.
No.
I mean, hopefully that will change, but middle of America is, yeah, they're not into the truth.
What is the cultiest thing that happened to you this week?
The cultiest thing that happened to me this week was that I realized, how do I put this? I realized in a way I was kind of brainwashed a little bit in my last relationship. And now it's been like 7 months since we broke up, something like that. And I just like looking back on my mental state when I was in that relationship compared to where I'm at now, which is more of my baseline. I'm like, whoa, I like my thoughts were obsessive. Like I really had such a low self-esteem. I think just something about the nature of our dynamic, and I won't get too deep into that because I don't want to blow up anyone's spot, but it wasn't like a him thing and it wasn't, you know, it was just an us thing. I was convinced that there was just something wrong with me. I don't know. It's crazy. I've never had that in a relationship before.
Wow. Well, that's interesting because that's what makes, you know, that feeling makes you reach for a leader.
I mean, and in a way, I was like looking to him for approval because he's very particular in the things that he likes. And I was starting to feel like he just didn't approve of some of the things that I liked. And again, it's just like just the way we were together and created this dynamic. But like
awful.
But now he's in love.
Oh, really?
I'm not in love yet, but you know, I'm open.
She's in love with life.
I'm in love with my dog. Okay. Anyway, so should we talk to Noelle?
Let's talk to Noelle.
Welcome, Noelle Wells.
Hi. Hi, guys.
Hi, thank you for joining us. Noelle is a very talented filmmaker, musician, comedian. Do you consider yourself a comedian?
You know, not while Trump was in office.
I will say the second that Joe Biden got elected, I was like, does this mean I get to be funny again? Will my humor connect with people? Seriously, like I think I'm really funny, but it's hard to be funny if you're not talking about the same thing everybody else is talking about.
Mm, I think that counts as a comedian then. I think comedian is one of your...
Yeah. Wow. What an answer. You know, one thing I'm really unfunny about is like I overexplain everything. So, wow.
No. We all have been depressed for 4 years. It's understandable.
I didn't realize how hard this has been until it actually seems like it's going to be over. And suddenly I was like, oh my God, that I haven't even been thinking about my own life, which I mean, I have been thinking about my life, but in a different way. Mm-hmm. It's like always, I don't know. I really feel like this like toxicity just like slid off my shoulders.
Totally.
And it's insane that one human being did this to so many people.
Oh my gosh. I know. Yesterday was a wild celebration.
Yeah. And so genuine too.
Yeah.
And it's hard to... And people are trying to, you know, people are like, well, this is what Trump voters felt like when they won. It's like, no. This is like a totally different type of win.
Yeah.
Sorry to make this about the election. We can cut that out. Sorry.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of important.
Yeah. The whatever. Okay, Noelle, she's very talented. We're very happy to have her on.
Thank you.
So the reason that we have you on today is because I saw an Instagram post of yours a while back about how you had been essentially scammed by a psychic, was what you posted. And so
yeah,
I want to, well, first of all, tell us, like, what was your journey to going to psychics for answers like? How did it all begin?
It began with a psychic. I got taken to a psychic for my birthday like 5 years ago, 4 years ago, and I was the most incredulous person about it. I just was like, I can't wait to figure out how this con lady is going to get me. And then I watched how it worked. And it's interesting. Like, my reading was really good and I could see it being reflected in the cards. Like, I would have a question and then the cards would come up. And so it became more of a, it's quite subjective, but it's open to interpretation, but it really opened my mind to a totally different way of looking at things. And then from there, it was like a gateway to getting like a healing. And then after I got this healing from this woman in New York, I started experiencing pretty intense spiritual type things. And it made me realize like, oh, wow, as logical as I've always been and as like how, you know, left-brained as I am, there's this whole other side of reality. And it's a whole different way of looking at things that actually makes me feel a little bit more connected to the world. So I sort of like went down this rabbit hole of like just trying to find other people like me who could give me answers for what was happening to me.
So you got sucked in by the healer, and then this became more of a lifestyle. Like, you started kind of filtering the world through it.
Well, it was more just curious. It was like I just went and dabbled in things.
Mm.
It's like when you're like, I don't know, am I a swinger? I don't know. You're just like sort of like dating around. You're just like, let me just spend all my money on looking for answers from different people. And then also me also feeling like I was psychic. Like, I could also see the way that their minds were working. And then I started realizing being psychic is not paranormal. It's actually a physiological, like I could imagine that it's something to do with my heart and my brain. It felt psychological.
Mm.
Also, at that time, I was so sensitive. Like, I could look at somebody and know everything that was happening with them. I couldn't be in large groups. It's like it's an empath, being an empath, but it was so much worse. There are books written by people. There's one that's like a highly sensitive person. And I read that and I'm like,
I have that book.
Yeah. But also in that time, the cool thing about all this stuff happening was I also was very creative and I started being able to play music. So it was hard for me to want to shut it off because I found I was getting all these benefits from being in this state where I was getting all this information. Half the time felt like from somewhere else. And then half of it was from the world.
So you just felt like an openness overall.
Yeah.
And you're just like absorbing everything and it's making you more creative.
Yeah. And I'm, and I want, and, but at the same time, I'm still working on all these psychological issues. I want answers. Like I also want friends. It's like, it's a very isolating experience. And so I ended up going to lots of psychics. I was also just trying to get better. I wanted to stop crying all the time. I wanted to be able to be in rooms and hang out with my friends. Like I wanted to be able to go to parties and not want to like run and hide just because I'm so overwhelmed. And so I thought if somebody could tell me how to fix myself and they could give me an insight about what I need to do, I will do it. I will do anything. And then that's how you get to the psychic who cons you.
Right.
So in walks this person. How did you meet?
Yeah.
So like a lot of things in my life, I find that fate sort of takes you on a ride and I like following the signs. And I had just been thinking, I want to see a new psychic. And I ran into a girl that I know at an audition. And she just says to me, like, I just got the name of a psychic. So that's how it happened.
You're like, ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding. And so I got this person's information. She gave me two psychic names. One person I tried calling. They didn't call me back. That's, to me, like, you're not operating. You know, that's just not. That's a closed door.
Uh-huh.
The second woman, I didn't have a number. I had an email address. But I looked up and her name. So I looked her up and she had, like, an article. In a very, like, very well-written article talking about how she got her psychic gifts and that she had it when she was a child and that she was able to talk to dead people and that it was very overwhelming when she was a child that this was always happening to her. And I believe stuff like that. My mom, and just to put like another context, my whole childhood, my mom was like, I'm psychic. And everyone around her thought she was so stupid, including me, about that. Because she just sounded insane. But she would say, I had a dream that a woman died in a car. I was a woman who died in a car accident. Look, here she is in the paper. She sounds insane. Then it started happening to me. And I was like, oh, no. My mom was – now I understand. It's like – you know. So – and my mom saw ghosts, like all sorts of things. So this woman said she saw ghosts. And then she went to college to become like a neuroscientist or something with neurology or some kind of psychological study, which gave her the Western perspective.
Uh-huh.
And I loved that. I was like, because that's what I feel like I went through. I started out as very skeptical. I'm a very logical person. I like facts. I like investigating things. And then she said that something happened to her and it all started again. And so that her modality of being psychic is merging that, the psychological, the concrete, and using that to help contextualize the information she's getting, which is exactly what I
like. Yeah, right. Ding, absolutely.
So I did my research. And here's the thing. When I gut check the situation, I feel like she believes that on some level because she must believe that on some level and she must have just – or she's gotten off track somewhere, right? So I contacted her and she wrote me this email telling me – sort of writing from a Native American perspective, which I thought was really interesting. So she was like this white woman who,
I feel like most healer types, that is the situation.
I know. And now when I look at it, I'm like, that is sad. Like, it's somebody who's trying to put a cloak of something important or something that is an essential and a real thing and a real energy you can tap into. I've felt it. I've been there. I know that the earth is crying, like that kind of stuff. Like I've been in a situation where I'm like, this land is haunted because what we've done, I felt it. But then for me to run off and be like, and now I'm like talking to the ancestors and like, so she wrote me this thing talking to me like basically like that. Like it was this thing about channeling this energy about my spirit animals and I love that stuff. Like I love it. I eat it up. I think I have animals come to me all the time, right? Like I
totally.
She got me, but she also was like, you're a lone wolf type. And that was what I was actually struggling with at the time, was like, I don't want to be alone. This is something that I'm really sick of. And she also was saying that you have this specific spirit number that's assigned to you, but then said all these really positive things about the thing. All classic manipulation stuff. Like if you break it down, she is using like appealing to wisdom outside of outside of my knowledge. Mm-hmm. She's right. telling me something that it feels accurate to me. That's where she's hooked me.
Yeah.
And then she's saying these positive things. And then she's like, but I'm having a retreat. And I think you should come.
Oh, no.
So, and I was like, you know what? I'm in such a fucked up place right now. I'll do anything. A retreat in Sedona, Arizona. I've never...
Okay, they're always in Sedona. Always. Why are they always in Sedona?
And I had just been given a book by what ended up being another cult, like actual cult. I had just been given this book called The Spirit of Sedona that was written by this guy who... I had this woman who was trying to get me to do this yoga thing. And I ended up going and seeing it once. And I was like, oh, this is a cult. This is actually a cult. But at the time, I had just been given this book. And I was like... oh my God, I just got this book for Sedona. So I'm following these
signs.
I'm following these things mm-hmm. thinking like how I normally do.
Right.
Not recognizing that, no, actually at this juncture, like where I'm at and the position that I'm in, I'm maybe my intuition about my red flags, about things I normally would be like, this kind of seems cheesy. Like I'm saying, like when a white woman's using Native American stuff.
Right.
I usually am like... eh.
Right.
But then I was like, I don't know, maybe. Like, maybe. Maybe she knows. Like, maybe she's trained. Like, I can't be the judge of that. Like, I'm this woman. I'm like, you know, I'm a mix of so many different identities, truly. And I want to be open to what that might look like. So
very open-minded of you.
I believe I'm an open-minded person, which is, I think, also what gets you into cults. I don't know.
I mean, yeah.
So... it's so funny how it goes down at this retreat. So I go to Sedona. It's like several days over a weekend. And it's a big group of people. Also, I have to mention that I've never gone on a retreat with a bunch of people. Anytime I've ever done a psychic or something, it's usually been one-on-one.
Yeah, that was my impression. Mm-hmm.
So this was like big. And because I was saying it was so hard for me to be around people, I also took this as an opportunity. I was like, let me try and be around a bunch of strangers. Mm-hmm. Because people's energy for me at that time was so intense. Like meeting new people it's essentially people would jump into me and then I'd be carrying around their stuff and it's hard. So I was like, I want to get better. May I take this as an opportunity to practice my boundaries, not make it about me, see what I have to say or see what she has to say. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So the things that transpire, by the way, I think for a year are all totally real.
Really?
So I want to say that.
Okay.
Which I think is very funny. Because, okay. So we get to this thing. We have this retreat. There's all these different people there. There's a very famous actress there that I love. There's also a guy. Oh, I can't go into details because if in case anybody ever hears this.
Is there any chance that we know who she's talking about?
There's no way.
Okay.
So I believe that. It's real, but like I said, my gut. Okay, so she starts this retreat off. We all get brought into this house in this room at this woman's house, and there are crystals everywhere, and it's like very austere. And she's acting like the most acting version of a healer I've ever seen. And my first instinct was like, what is happening? She's like acting like a psychic. And my first instinct was like, that's bullshit. And then there's the gaslighting voice that's like, no, you're judging her, right? So my other voice was, why are you judging her? Which is the false voice. Now right. I'm learning that that is the false voice. That's the cultural voice. When my true instinct was that woman's lying about right. what she's doing. Oh man, this feels so cathartic. Because yeah. I get to say that. It's like, I knew it was false. Mm-hmm. That I talked myself out of it. She comes around the room and she's being really, like, really into it. And she's, like, hugging everybody. And people start crying. And, like, and I was like, what is happening? Like, I was like, this is intense. And I start shaking because I was like, is this, like, real? Like, is this a real thing? Like, is my life about to be transformed? This woman, she ended up, like, looking her in the eyes. And the woman just starts bawling. And she hugs her and she kisses her on the forehead. And then she comes up to me, she looks me in the eye, and she tries to hug me, and my body arches away from her and will not let her touch me. Like, my body is, like, flipping out. And she – it's, like, kind of like a – it's so funny what was happening where it was almost like my body was just like, no, 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 no. It was, like, caving out, and then she kept pushing.
Ah!
And finally, I just did it, and I was like – and then she pulled away, and she looked at me, and she goes, you're going to have a lot of fun this weekend.
Terrifying.
Your body's like, I am not.
So here's what I thought. I was like, I'm so damaged that I can't even let a woman hug me. That's what I thought.
Oh, huh.
Poor baby bunny.
So that's what I thought. I was like, that's how fucked up I am, right? Not knowing that it is actually just me knowing what was that it wasn't true. I don't know. Right. Like,
Yeah.
So, but I will never forget my life, like, just like being like, ugh,
it's like a sketch.
It's totally
it is.
Like a cat, you're trying to get through a door that's like claws, like get on the door frame. And you're like, no, don't touch me. Okay. So I'll say what happens is we start, you know, she's like, I'm going to go into a teaching. And then she goes, oh my God, there's somebody here right now. And she points to, she looks at this woman here and then she starts talking to her and she says her name. She's like, there's a woman here. She says this woman's name and this woman immediately starts bawling her eyes out.
No.
And she just starts saying, like, she starts talking about, these are the facts that we're hearing about this person's friend who had recently died. And this is the reason why this woman's here, because her best friend died. She had she died from a drug overdose. There's like this whole thing, you know, like she knew all the specifics. She knew her name. She knew like some kind of, she was like, she's really connected to trees. She wants to tell you, she was like giving her information, saying these such specifics. This woman is like, yeah. So she was just like, that's her daughter. That's this. Like she's saying names. So many specifics. And this woman's like sobbing. And it was really crazy. It was like really crazy. I was like, oh my God, this is legit. And that's so cool that this just happened for this person. And then she was like, well, guys, I was going to give a teaching, but maybe you guys do you want me to channel some more? Like, and everybody was like, channel! Everyone wanted to hear their story. So she's like, all right. So then she starts scrawling on a piece of paper, like scrawling quick notes. Like a cartoon psychic, like a cartoon, like just
like automatic writing,
like automatic writing, right? I don't judge that, but she's just like, her eyes are rolled back in her head and she's doing all this stuff. And I just was like, wow, like this is like really intense. This is really happening. And she does it for like maybe 10 minutes. And at first I just have like my eyes open for the whole time. I'm so nervous. And I think to myself, what if she calls on me first, right?
Mm.
And then I was like, Noelle, you're so egocentric. Why do you want to make it all about you? Like, but essentially like 10 minutes goes by of her doing all this. It's like a really long time. And finally I was like, you know what? Just close your eyes. Everybody else has their eyes closed. I close my eyes. 5 seconds after I close my eyes, the room is quiet. She's been quiet for 10 minutes. She goes, Noelle. And my stomach drops out of, like, I'm just like, holy shit. I've never been so prompt. I was just like, what is about to happen? Is my life about to change? Like, what is she going to say? Who are my ancestors? Like, who's going to talk to me?
Yeah.
So she goes, Bobby's here. And then she starts talking to me about Bobby. She was like, and Teddy was like a teddy bear and the firefighter department. He made everybody so proud. And she just like starts talking about all these people. I have no idea what's going on. I don't know anything she's talking about. And then she's just talking and talking, saying all these things. And I was like, I think in these situations, usually psychics like really like they expect you to nod.
Yeah.
There's kind of, and I even was like observing, I was like, I could bullshit her, but I was like, but none of this is true. None of it is true. And then after a little bit, because she wasn't getting this like ridiculous reaction out of me, she goes, is any of this feeling accurate to you? And I just shook my head no. And then she goes, and then there's a woman here that looks like a grandmother and there's a lot of female trauma in your line and maybe sexual abuse and saying things. And I was like, yeah, I mean, like probably because
I mean, women.
Yeah, women. Also like my ancestors. This is like a for real thing. Our Native, like a Native American matrilineal line. So like literally I'm assuming rape is part of how any of us have been inducted into this culture. Like, and then she just very quickly just moves on to the woman sitting next to me. And she's like, Caroline, Elise is here. And this woman next to me just starts bawling.
Oh my God.
So then she goes around the room and does this for a lot of people. And I was like, what is wrong? Again, asking like, what's wrong with me? I also feel like sometimes I have like a trickster energy that's always trying to fuck with me. And I was like, Is this like the trickster? Like the saboteur?
Kind of the saboteur?
Yeah. I was like, are they like blocking her channeling? Like what's going on? And I was like, well, I should talk to her about it. Like maybe she knows. Right. So after she does everybody and like there's a couple here, their daughter had died and she's going into all these specifics about her daughter and how like her dancing and plays, she listed all the plays. Like it was insane.
Okay. These details are too specific.
So I think it was the most blown away I've ever been by a psychic because they were so specific.
Right.
So it was like, I'm seeing all these people like doubling over and they are so specific, but she was so wrong with me. So afterwards I went up to her and I was like, hey, I just want to talk to you. So none of those people that you talked to me about, it didn't feel like it was for me. And she goes, she was like, I knew something was happening. She's like, I just knew something was happening. You know what? Sometimes things interfere. That was exactly what I had been thinking, right? She's like, I'm going to figure this out. I'll like, you know. So she just was like, yes, I understood. Something was going on. Okay. Next day, and it's a spiritual retreat, so there's other different things happening.
Sorry, I'm just like, things interfere with totally wrong names and details. Okay.
So here's what happens. The next day, we're going up to some... It's Sedona. There are these things. There's like vortexes or energy fields that people like put people in. I don't know. We're going up to a hill. So we're going up to a hill and we're all caravanning up to some sacred spot. And she puts me in her. By the way, there's a very famous actress on this retreat who she's like glommed onto in a very specific way. So she puts me in the car with her and she was like, and somebody else is driving. She's like, I'm so sorry about what happened yesterday. She was like, you know, there's this couple that whose daughter had died. They're so skeptical that the daughter was channeling. She's like, she really likes you. The daughter's energy really likes you, as in me. She's like, you guys are both Blue Jay energy. You're like these very theatrical sort of people. Like, she likes you, but she died when she was like 19. So she's like telling me this 19-year-old girl loves me.
Oh, wow.
And she's like, she was using you to, because she knows her dad is so skeptical of stuff like this, she was using you to say the names of people in his life because I could see him starting to get really uncomfortable. And that's why I moved off of you. And I was like, okay. Like, I was like, so she's like, but I think, she's like, last night I like channeled. So then she starts this recorder for me and then she just starts basically channeling and she talks about my great grandmother and she says her name and she talks about my Uncle Earl and she tells me she sees him passing out milk, which I have no idea what that means. She talks about, she says your great grandmother was so proud of you at your graduation. She was like, and she saw the clothes that you made. And I was just like, because my grandma had died. And I was shocked because my great grandmother, from all I knew, was like a mean woman. And I was like, oh my God, like in the afterlife, I guess all sort of forgiven. That's I was like, that's so cool. And she's like, she was so proud of you. She's saying she loved seeing you and your mom and Bye Bye Birdie, which is a play I did and a piece of my, or I did a play Bye Bye Birdie and a piece of my heart, which is a play me and my mom did. And I just was like, I was like, holy shit. I was like, what? And the whole time I thought I was so alone, right? Because I went in here thinking I'm so alone. And now I'm being told that my great grandmother's been watching me, like watching me this whole time and has been rooting me on in the afterlife. She also told me, like, she said my great grandmother like was in charge of people's stories, that she like kept records of a town that I might even have property. She was saying all these very interesting, very specific things. And then afterwards she was like, does this all make more sense? And I was like, yeah, thank you. So I kind of spent the whole day sort of wrapping my mind around, because she said, she said one thing that I thought was so devastating. She talked about my Uncle Earl and she goes, he says it's okay you didn't come to his funeral. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't go to his funeral. I never even thought to go to his funeral, which in a weird way was like very humbling, where I was like, oh wow, I've been so self-centered. You see how like basically throw everything back on me, but then but I was like, I never even thought he would have wanted me to come, was like the way that I thought about it. And I was like, so I'm thinking about all my family members I was like kind of estranged with in the afterlife being like, it's okay you didn't come to our funeral, we're just so happy you're acting and like making clothes, like
right,
saying all this stuff, like,
oh my god.
She also said things that were really bullshitty. Like she was saying like, I see someplace in Kentucky, and my mom was from Kentucky, and she's like, I see the Cumberland River. And I was like, so just to cut ahead, when I talked to my mom about it, she's like, I never grew up by a river. She never grew up by the Cumberland River, right?
Right.
This is kind of bullshit. But anyway, so I just spent that day being like really having to rewrite the story about the women in my life specifically, because she talked a lot about the women in my life and how hard it was for them. And I was like, you know what? I guess it is worth just forgiving, because this is my life. And I don't know, it really put me in a place of being really receptive of like whatever I was going to experience for the rest of the trip. And I couldn't really get into a lot of the rituals, but I was seeing things that felt like they were specifically for me. Like this kind of like, I kept seeing like this Buddha face, or this Hindu Buddha. Like I saw it in the rocks. Like I was seeing this. And then later at the end of the trip, we ended up at a Buddhist temple area in Sedona. I don't know what it's called, but it was exactly the face that I had seen. So I was having my own psychic experience from the trip. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, the couple whose daughter died, I became really close with, because she had told me that the daughter liked me. So I became friends with them.
How?
Well, the mom started talking to me, and you know, I'm like really, like I said, I'm very protective. I didn't want people close to me because I had been told that the daughter liked me. I kind of was like, I need to be receptive to whatever these might be my friends. Like maybe we can learn something from each other. I thought she was really funny too. We were like hanging out. I gave her my phone number. Me and the mom have been talking for a year. She and I talk almost every single day.
Oh, wow.
Still.
Oh.
Okay. So I have retold the story of like this crazy retreat, this like weird psychic thing, how this daughter had channeled, you know, it was like this weird thing about how she used me to like kind of get through to her dad, but then I got my real thing, and then now I'm friends with the parents, right? It all seems to have unfolded in a very specific and beautiful way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so recently after the retreat, I got put in a text thread about people talking about how horrible the retreat was, but I was so sensitive, I couldn't deal with the negativity of even seeing that. So I just like got out of it. So I never knew what went down in the thread or like how people were upset. But I will say one thing that happened in the retreat is that we were taken to this woman's jewelry shop, and she like, it's like Sedona Native American stuff, like a woman making like bands and leather stuff out of snakeskin. And I was being like, it was like, they were really pressuring us to buy stuff. And I didn't want any of it. I didn't like the way that it looked. It wasn't my style. And the woman, the psychic kept calling me down and kept being like, no, don't you want this? This was like this thing from your, I had a vision at some point. She was like, this is the thing from your vision. And I kept saying no. And I said no. And I kept saying no. And I kept leaving. And then finally she cornered me. She goes, you're going to have a really good year next year. I know. Like as in money wise.
Uh-huh.
So I got pressured into buying like $120 thing.
Oh god.
But I was pretty mad. I just was like, why did this happen? And that was a thing that a lot of people were mad about, was like, why did we, and part of our spiritual retreat that we paid for, why were we being like home shopping networked for, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was bad. And then I had this piece in my house for like 2 months, and I was like, maybe I should be getting something out of this. Like maybe I'm not understanding. Like maybe I'm like so close-minded, right? Like,
oh.
And then finally I was like, I don't fucking like this. And I got rid of it. I was just like, maybe I don't fucking like this.
Hell yeah.
So going back to me talking to this mom for almost a year, something got brought back up about this situation. And then she goes, Noelle, she was a con artist. And I was like, wait, what? She goes, oh yeah, she just looked up everybody's obituaries. And I was like, what are you talking about? She goes, oh, no, we all figured it out. I was like, what do you mean? She's like, she just looks up newspapers finds your name and then gets specifics from the newspapers and weaves it into a tale. And I was like, No. And by the way, one of the things I confirmed afterwards about my Uncle Earl passing out milk, I had no idea what that meant. I called my grandma and she goes, yeah, he worked at a milk factory, right? And she said he's in a uniform. Those are the two facts she said. I see him, he's in a uniform and he's passing out milk. And I didn't know anything about my Uncle Earl. So then my grandma was like, yeah, he was in the Navy and he worked at a milk factory. I was blown away, right? And she's like, no, she found everything. You can just Google. She Googled articles about my dead daughter.
Oh, that's so fucking heartbreaking.
And took specifics from the articles and used it to bullshit us. And she was like, she just lied to us. But she's like, everything she said, I went and looked and found in a newspaper.
Yeah.
And because she was a dead 19-year-old, like she's a 19-year-old girl that passed away so suddenly, and she was such a part of the community. There was so much information about her online. So she told me this one night and I was like, no, I don't know. Because I've never been conned so hard.
Yeah.
I've never had that moment where I know you can Google stuff. I've always known that with psychics, but I've never had anybody ever do that. I've only ever had people who are talking to me about dynamics they couldn't possibly know anything about. But I realized she was giving everybody facts.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
She was using facts. To and then bullshitting around the facts.
So why did she give you the wrong facts the first time?
Because she looked up the wrong Noelle Wells.
Yeah.
That's what I assumed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she didn't know who I was.
Right.
Right.
So I contacted her from my email address that doesn't have my last name, but you have to do an intake form where you give information. And then she says it's part of the retreat as part of like a medical thing. Like, I think it's just if you're on this retreat, you give like a lot of information, your date of birth, like.
Oof, don't like any of that.
Oh my God. It's insane. I can't. Yeah. And here's the thing. I've been recommended by another friend. I thought it had been like a vetted sort of situation. It's interesting. So she told me, no, she's a con artist. And I was like, no, I don't even know if there are obituaries of these people so I went back and I listened to the whole thing of what she'd said because I have the recording. I was like, there are only a couple of facts she's using here that blew me away because everything else was kind of like confusing. Like I was like, there's some stuff where I was just like, well, maybe. The only interesting thing that she said that I found was like, how did she find this? She's like, your mom writes poetry and you're one of your grandmas is saying she needs to keep writing poetry. That, I don't know, like, did she find that online? I'm not sure. My mom did write poetry. I thought that was very beautiful that she told me that. And how cool is that? Is like telling my mom to keep going with her dream. I don't know. So I was like, I took the facts that I had. I started with my Uncle Earl and I found his obituary. And it says in it is essentially like he was in the Navy and he worked in a milk factory.
Stop it now.
And it said the people that were at the funeral.
No.
Oh.
So she connected it I don't know exactly how she did it, but that was the only information, right? Like,
I am impressed with her memory.
I was going to say that too. All those people in the room remembering all those things.
She didn't do everybody. That's what's interesting. Mm. So she did not do everybody. She found like a convenient way to avoid some people.
Right.
And it's so hard for me to, like, I still want to give her the benefit of the doubt, right?
Why?
I don't know, because I can't believe that people are bad. I don't know why. So what I had written in the post you saw was that I projected my good intentions on the entire situation.
Right.
So even with the lies, I found a way for it to suit me because I went there to heal. And so I let go of a bunch of stuff on this retreat. So ultimately, going on this retreat was very productive for me because I was in the state of mind where, she tells me all these things and I'm like, well, I thought that woman was a bad woman. I was like, well, I guess I don't know everything. Like,
yeah.
I was just, and I let it go. And I actually believe my perspective on how
I think
rationalize
you were meant
it
to do that. I think you got a lot out of it and now you're not going to get,
totally.
By something
Can we
bigger.
Not say meant though?
I mean, but I think that way.
I do too, because here's the thing. I do too.
I mean,
I'm still making choices throughout the whole process. At any point, like, the only part I found really, like, in the moment found really inappropriate was her forcing me to buy something. And it would not happen today. It was like that moment was so upsetting for me that I vowed never to have anybody do that to me again. so it's like a valuable thing, right? All of these things are valuable in a sense.
For sure. I mean, well, yeah, I just don't like the word meant, because meant to me implies that there's some greater thing above that has decided that this must happen to you, versus the reality as I see it, which is when bad things happen to us, we find ways to incorporate them into our life story, into our narrative, and find, hopefully, find the good things that came out of it and, you know, integrate them going forward. Because that's what we have to do in order to survive.
Right. Right.
But like this idea that it, to me, it falls under, you know, it's still in the dangerous territory of that sort of magical thinking.
Totally.
You know,
faith is magical thinking.
Well, that's why I don't have
faith. Yeah, I know, but I do.
And this is where I'll say you're both right.
Yeah, exactly. We are.
That's what's that's what's unfortunate is, like, was it meant to happen? I think I could have made a different choice. But when I was already in the situation, everything that happened, I decided how to cope with it. And then even when I found out she was a year later, it was like almost a year to the day I found out, I thought it was just so funny. And I was like, there's a lot of different ways to react to this. So I could go demand my money back, which honestly, I want my money back. I want my money back.
How much was it?
It was like $900.
$900.
Here's the thing. I was desperate. And that's what happens. And and I gave my power and my authority to discern away to somebody who convinced me that she knew more about my situation than I did. I see all of the things that I've gotten so much out of it. And I think it had to have taken, when we're saying it's meant to be, it had to have taken a year for me to figure this out. Because I think I might have even made excuses for her even a year earlier. But then within that year, so many other weird things had happened to me where I was like, no, I'm not going to let this stuff happen to me anymore. And it was almost like the final reveal. And by the way, this one thing was also like bullshit. And I was like, oh, so the whole time I always knew the truth. I knew the truth. I'll say the only thing that I found super interesting, I don't believe she's without some kind of talent, right? This is how I think manipulators work. This is, to me, at the end of the day, like a con artist manipulator, they're a dark magician. Like, if we're thinking about archetypes, they're in touch with how human emotions work, or how people's minds work, or how you know, like the fallibility of like mind. And I think that there are two types of magicians. There are magicians that do things for good, like it's always like a positive, or magicians that are like sort of dark magicians. And she was doing it to like fulfill something for herself, like get money. She's stealing. Here's also how I've been thinking about things. Money is energy. And by being deceitful, she's a vampire. So she was stealing money from people who are vulnerable, because that vulnerability is when people don't guard their energy, and they don't, because they're so desperate to understand. They're like children. You're like a little kid, and they don't know. And, you know, it's like if you're preying on somebody who's in that position, you're like stealing from a child. Like you're
so mean.
Yeah.
It's so
fucking mean.
It's a predator. I'm like, a con artist is a predator. So I believe she has skills, right?
It's
so
like she's a sociopathic.
So she used these powers because I do believe in some of the experiences that I had, and because she's so smart, right? Like we're saying, she's so smart. She was able to remember all these things. She's really quick on her toes. Like, she's like really good at like bullshit. She's a bullshitter, right? You know, the bullshit. At the end of it, she gave everybody like white light. Like, she channeled light. Mm-hmm. And some people were getting this light and crying. And like, I was like, what's going to happen to me? I actually don't. I've gotten so many healings, but I've never like had an extreme experience where I'm like, oh my God. Like, I don't really buy that. I don't know. I guess I'm really connected to the physical stuff. But she put her hands on me, and I felt for the first time in my life what it meant when people say light. I always thought of like a white light as you're going to see a light. And then I got the sense that light is light, like as it's not
heavy. Yeah. Yeah.
And I it was like an epiphany where I was like, that's what light is. It's clean and it's clear and it's
under control.
Light.
Sorry. That's just a commercial reference.
So I don't know. And I think anybody has that capacity to sort of be that channel. I don't think you have to be psychic to be clear, like to be able to channel that. But I think that that's exactly what cult leaders do is like they have access to a thing that maybe we all have access to, but they wield it as in a position of authority.
Yeah.
So then you follow them and you give them things they steal from you rather than being like, I know how to do this. Let me help you. Like, let me give this to you.
But even anyone who says, let me help you, if they're saying that they have the answer.
Right.
That I like.
Red flag.
Even when they have good intentions, like they, you know, nobody has all the answers. They just don't.
Yeah. So even if you're saying it out of like earnestness, you're being, there's some kind of weird ego thing there when you're like, no, trust me. I know.
Trust me.
Is she still in business? Is this bitch?
I don't know. Here's what I did. I was like, I don't have the energy to care. Yeah. I'm asking for my money back, like in the cosmic order of things. Like sometimes when bad things happen to me and I spent my money, I think I paid for a lesson. Like it's like going to school.
that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah. So then you're training yourself. But just like when you invest in school, like, you, the hope is that later in life, you, because you now have all this information, these skill sets, you'll be able to make the money back with your wisdom. You get the energy back. So I'm not going to think of it in a bad way, but also, obviously, I don't want anybody to ever go to this person. But what I heard from when I was told was that she no longer is allowed to do her retreats in Sedona because she was working with other people and there were natives like involved with the. So I think that maybe enough people complained.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I just like, so I remember when I read The Game and, you know, our friend Handsome George, as we call him, used to teach pickup. And one of the things that they would talk about, or one of the things that Neil Strauss was really interested in, was the idea of cold reading people, which is just a skill that you can develop. It's not like a magical thing. It's just like, it's almost like Sherlock Holmes. Like you're picking up on little cues and little personality quirks and like gestures and physical movements.
Yeah, you could probably look at someone's nails and know like how to manipulate them.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, are you artistic? And I'm like, yeah, not knowing that I have like paint on my
hand. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
No, exactly. Or even like you can, sometimes you can talk to a person and know they have some fucked up trauma in their past because of the way that they're talking about a thing, you know? Like, I just think it just gets so dangerous when we start to call it magic instead of like
we're being
psychology.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. When I was experiencing the psychic sort of things, I started recognizing this isn't somewhere else. This is in my body, in my mind. Like, I just am very sensitive.
Yeah.
So I'm getting more information than somebody else would. Like I can walk into a room and I can tell who's hurting and where. And I don't think that that's like a, like if you told me you're in pain or you're like, I don't feel very good. And if I tuned into you, I'd be like, oh, it's like right here. Like I can feel it. That's not crazy to me.
Right.
Does that make sense? Like I don't believe that's paranormal because it's just that because other people are not that sensitive, it feels magical.
It's just a part of our brain we haven't like tapped into.
Yeah.
I was talking to all these like these writers who are just a bunch of guys who write on a show, and they were like, we, when we're in a writer's room, think of things together at the same time that would never happen in a bazillion years. Like our brains are all linked up. There's something in our brains that do that together. Like we just don't know how it works yet. It's magic.
There's this great video online at the study that they did, I always say whoever they is, some fucking researchers,
just some stupid scientists,
researchers. it was like a marketing study. So they pick people up from the airport and drive them on a very particular path past very particular things and bring them to this office and say, okay, draw us a logo for this whatever company. I remember zero specifics, but then they bring a second person, and then I think they bring a third person along the same path, passing the same things. And the logos that they draw when they get there are almost identical.
Oh, cool.
And they go back and they look at, I think there was like maybe a sun somehow involved in the logo. You go back and they pass this particular thing on the wall that was a sun.
Have you seen the guy do that at like the James Corden show or wherever?
No.
Where he like shows them a few things and he's like, okay, everybody draw a picture. And they all have drawn the exact same picture.
So they've all been guided to, right.
Yeah. It's priming.
It's priming, right.
Yeah.
Oh, it's horrible. The brain, makes me so sad.
It's interesting.
Too. I mean, but like, it's fascinating, but I just think like there's so much going on subconsciously at all times. We're processing so much information all the time that what is like really pretty normal neuronal, is that the word? Neurological,
yeah,
neuronal, whatever.
Neuronal, sure.
Processes They appear to be this mystical thing.
Right, but then people who have not so great intentions, they learn how to do this.
Right.
This is how predators work, con artists.
Right.
I mean, this is exactly like, it's, you, I mean, the few times that I've been violated by manipulators, like, I see the way that they primed me. They used things, they had me agree to things, and then later they were like, but you just agreed to that. And I, and the psychology of that is like, oh, well, I don't want to be an unagreeable person.
Mm-hmm,
so they play people like that. And now you just, now I think I'm at a level of awareness because of the gut feeling. I'd be like, you're trying to manipulate me. And I actually know that. Like, I've, for most of my life, I've been able to know those things, but I guess this kind of comes back to the beginning where I've realized like the pain that I'm in has mostly nothing to do with me. I don't feel good because of how unhealthy things are. And because I'm so sensitive, that's what doesn't feel great.
Mm-hmm.
But that I know, and that the world just tells me that I'm being difficult or that I'm gaslighting because other people either just are unconscious or because you know, when you call unhealthy things out, it's like a very challenging, it's a challenging thing where you either have to acquiesce so that the environment can continue operating in the way that it does, or you get ejected. And that becomes a very painful thing too. You're like, I just keep getting rejected out of things. What, there's something wrong with me. Maybe I'm being too harsh. Maybe I'm not giving these people the benefit of the doubt. And at a certain point you're like, I don't know, maybe I'm not the bad person. Like, I've been convinced I'm bad. When my body doesn't want to touch this woman, I think, what's wrong with me? Why am I so broken that I don't want to let a stranger hug me?
Right.
When really, maybe children have been convinced that they're supposed to be nice to everybody.
Yeah.
When children have like instincts.
Well, girls in particular.
Girls in particular, like, go hug that person. And you're just like, okay, I guess, even if I don't want to, like.
Yeah. That story reminds me, I feel like I've probably told this story on the podcast, but it reminds me of the time when I believed in my prophet when I was 12. And I was like praying by myself to bear my testimony about him. And I couldn't get myself to finish the sentence. I know the ex name is a true prophet. I could not get myself to finish the sentence, and I'm 12, and I took note, and I was like, okay, we'll remember that for the future.
Wow, your
we'll
little
remember that
your little the future you was. It's like almost like a. That's so cool.
Yeah, but I still believed in him. Like, I was like, maybe it doesn't mean anything. Probably doesn't mean anything. I probably just like don't have enough faith. You know what I mean?
Right, but that's how that's the gaslighting.
Yeah, exactly.
You didn't have enough faith. If only you gave yourself a little bit harder. If only you were nicer. If only you right.
Yeah, guys.
Oh God.
Trust yourselves.
Trust yourself. Did she hit you up for any more money?
No, you know what's really funny too? As I think she knew I could see through her.
Yeah.
Because she was like, she became like really friendly with me and like was always like really sucking up to me. And I was just like.
Like how? Where? Like, oh, you mean on the retreat?
On the retreat. Yeah. Because I really could see.
Yeah.
And here's the weird thing. I thought there's something wrong with me for how I was judging her.
Yeah.
Right? But yeah. And I just was.
It's like the emperor wears no clothes or whatever.
Yes!
Right?
Yeah. Yes, it's exactly it. And it's just like, you know what? Just, if you think something's bullshit, you're not wrong. I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah.
Even if it's just for your reality, just be like, I don't buy that. Just don't. You don't have to. Like, I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, I think like, yeah, it's a fine line between being open-minded and not being judgmental of people and like looking out for bullshitters.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you can like have empathy for people and be open to the idea that maybe their intentions are good, but still like look at the evidence. Look at like what's in
right.
front of
stop.
You.
Stop. Writing away all the things that are happening
right.
to make the person a good person,
right?
Or make them trustworthy,
right?
Yeah. Well, here's the question: the $1 million question for me. Have we ever found the Noelle she thought you were?
Wait, what do you mean? What do you
like the girl with the teddy and the firefighter?
Oh my God, that's so true. Well, I remembered enough of the specifics. Oh my God, I should look up Noelle Wells and look up Teddy. There was a. I don't remember the other name. The only reason why I remember Teddy is because I thought it was so dumb that she said, even in the moment, she's like, Teddy, and he was like a teddy bear. And I was like, well, anyone could get there.
Yeah, we got to find her. That's good.
Yeah.
We should tell her.
Yeah. I think, you know, and it's also very funny that she started with me. There's something very funny that she started with me because I think she knew that I didn't believe her.
It was like a skeptical energy happening.
Yeah, yeah. That's why she was like, you're going to have so much fun. So she starts with me. Just really, you know,
so
if anything,
funny.
I was her troll. You know how I have like a troll? I feel like I have this like energy that fucks with me. I kind of was that person for her, I think, in this retreat. You know, she tried to trick me and then I saw.
With that woman, Teal Swan, I went to one of her workshops and she would like not be satisfied until the person on the stage was like, yes, absolutely, that's great, you know, and would just keep going until, like, they need that validation, and she, like, wanted that validation from you so badly.
That's so cute. Wait, this has actually been the theme of this week, is recognizing when I think I'm disempowered in situations, that I might actually be the one that's in power, where I'm mm-hmm. like, these people have these men have power over me, and I'm like, actually, you're the one that has power, why would anybody be trying to bullshit you if they thought that you couldn't hurt them. And
well,
I don't know.
It's probably safer for you to feel like some people have power over you than realizing like you have all the power.
That's
the
exactly
it, yeah.
Because having power is a lot
it's
of
responsibility. It's a lot of shit. You're not used to it,
and
too.
Yeah. So that where I'm like, you're right. She wanted my, you're right. Isn't that, that's so cute. She wanted my validation, which is then where it gets a little scary. So I'll say these couple things that happened to me over the past year, including the psychic. It kind of feels like a shattering of innocence mm-hmm. a little bit, because I really did try. Like, I don't want to think that people are bad people. It's really not my point of view. It's like, I just want people to operate from integrity and I get to trust people. But now I recognize I can't do that because I'm going to keep getting hurt and I'm tired of getting hurt. Right. Like, but to graduate from keep getting hurt, you can no longer be a naive innocent. Mm-hmm. So then I now see things in a more shrewd way. Where then I get paranoid. I'm like, oh my God, I know how it works. Mm. Now I'm like, oh, I see how power works. I see that this person thinks I'm more powerful. Mm. If I was a bad person, I could do, like, it's like you have to be gentle with people, or like,
yeah,
it becomes a responsibility. And now that I know how someone could use it to control or hurt somebody, it's like, I don't want to know that, because then what if, you know, you're like, could I do that? Yeah. I get very paranoid about that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, and it's a real thing to have to consider too, being in the entertainment industry and being, you know, someone who's had successes, like people do look up to you and will continue to look up to you as you grow in your career. And like, I think we feel so small and like we don't know what we're doing, and we don't realize that people, we might actually have power over other people.
You're right. You need to graduate to understand now, because I've still been operating from a place of powerlessness, thinking that I'm the one at a disadvantage. Mm. I was talking to some friends and telling them a story yesterday, and they're like, it sounds like in both of these situations, you were the person in the power position, but you didn't recognize it. And I was like, oh my God, this is so complicated.
Yeah.
Like, human dynamics are so weird. Yeah. Because I also don't want power over people. I want to be influential, but I'm not a person that's seeking.
Well, it's complicated how much people want to give it to you. And that's what we explore a lot on this podcast, is like, why are narcissists so persuasive, and why are people so willing to be like, you know all the answers, or like, you here. Because nobody in their right mind wants power over people.
I mean,
but really, though,
I mean, a lot of people do.
Not in the right mind, though.
But not in the right mind, because
well, sociopath. I mean, people who are, you know, who their brain function is different.
Yeah,
it's atypical. But there are a lot of them.
Totally.
Yeah. You had a degree of power, but I just want to say, like, the parents whose child died in that situation do not like. She has power. These are vulnerable fucking people who are not in a position of
most
power.
Most of the people there, everybody she was channeling for, she was channeling everybody's dead loved one, because she was looking at their obituaries. Ugh. So these are people's vulnerabilities. These are people that they loved, that they miss, that they want nothing more to believe that they are still looking over them, that they still exist, that they're still talking.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fortunately, the perspective of the woman who told me, she was just like, yeah, it's disgusting. But she's like a pretty good sense of humor about it. She just like talks about how she was like, when she kissed me, I was like so disturbed. So she knew too. Like she,
oh, wow.
And one cool thing is that we did become friends. Like you're saying, it was meant to be, not meant to be. Maybe we would have always ended up being friends, but we're like, we talk like, we both have like a dark sense of humor, but also because you meet somebody there, you're there because you're in a dark experience.
Yeah.
Now you found somebody who's just like, damn, like the world's fucking crazy, but I don't know.
Totally.
Yeah. I really like the story. I like that it happened.
Yeah.
I like it.
I mean, it's a great story.
I like it. I like it. I like her even sometimes. When now that I'm thinking of it, I'm like so far away from it, or I'm like, that's so cute.
I mean, it sounds like it has been helpful for you in sort of like launching you into a new phase of your life that maybe you needed to grow into.
Yeah, where I now know how to puppet people around me.
Yeah.
It's hard enough for me to like I believe in my worth, and I believe in like how much I'm supposed to be getting paid and stuff. But even the idea of being like tricking people into giving you money, you know what? If I think about money like energy, that is your level of power. So you have to guard your currency. Currency is a current. I think these are real things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Currency is a current. It's an energetic current. I was throwing my power away to try and get answers from somebody.
When they were in you.
They were in me the whole time.
Oh, right inside of us. It's so right boring there. To look there. I want to go on a Sedona adventure and pay $700. Why does it have
you
to be in my body?
You can pay me $900.
Okay.
Addendum.
Addendum, addendum. So here we are again. Welcome back, Noelle, because...
Thank you.
We're going to get an update from you on what happened with this situation, because there has been an update.
There's been an update. Full disclosure, I have heard what I said previously, and I just want to apologize for how many times I said like. I'm working on it. second of all, I think I talked a lot about how... you know, how I was interpreting the experience very positively. Like, even though all this happened to me, I met a new woman, you know, she's my friend. And the way that I was interpreting things was that this money will always come back to me, or that I paid for a lesson was sort of the vibe, which is kind of a passive way of thinking about it. And I think even when we had that interview, it was before the pandemic and the lockdown, and I was still sort of struggling and hurting from other things that had happened to me. So I had a lot of time to like think about how I ended up in that situation. And I came to the bottom of it. It was like me disempowering myself and not trusting that I have power to make things happen. And so I got angry, which I think people, when women are angry, people like try to stop them from being angry. But anger, as my therapist says, is a way for you to go into action, which is great. So I got very angry about all these things that have happened. And instead of being like, maybe the universe will, you know, pay me back, I was like, fuck that. I'm going to get my money back. And I'm going to do it with the truth. And I'm going to say what I want. And I'm just going to give this person an ultimatum. And so... I sent an email to the psychic. Should I pull it up?
Oh my God, yes.
Yes. Read it to us.
Let me read what I wrote. So I decided, because I was like, I actually know what the truth is. I'm tired of con men. You know, I found that if you're very truthful, those kinds of people like either flip out or just give you what you, like weirdly, the truth settles some kind of score. Here's what I decided. I was like, I'm a businesswoman. I know that this happened. I know I was wrong. And I'm just going to treat this like a business. And I'm going to tell her exactly what happened. Tell her exactly what I know. And I'm just going to say, I'm asking for this exact amount of money back. You can either give me my money back in integrity or you don't. But I know what the truth is. And that was the way I approached it. So I just was like, hey, person, it's Noelle Wells. And I've been using my name lately as a power move, because I think like I'm standing behind my name, like, if I say it's my name, I'm operating in integrity. So I'm trying to give my name like this power. So, hey, it's Noelle Wells. That's my full name. Hey, it's been a little bit since this retreat, and I wanted to say I had a lot of clarity since then. After our follow-up reading in January, which I didn't tell you guys, but I also did this follow-up reading with her, and it was such bullshit. And it was just so bad. It was crazy because it was the most expensive psychic reading I've ever had. And she had like really convinced me that she was going to be able to like give me more insights from the retreat. And she was late to the reading. And it was just a lot of bullshit about how I needed to date a man who could like, you know, because I was such a go-getter. I needed a man that was more grounded, like maybe a fisherman. Like it was like kind of just bullshit. It was very strange, but I could almost see how like that, I was like, maybe that's true. Like maybe I need an outdoorsman to ground me, this like kooky musician actress, like whatever. Even though that's not what I want. I mean, who knows? If I fell in love with a fisherman, that would be very romantic. But Anyway, but it just felt like a lot of bullshit. And, you know, she was just saying a lot of confusing things. And I think that's it. This is what I've come down to. When I am confused by somebody, there's something wrong. Like, they're either confused themselves or they're bullshitting. And this is just now the new reality. If you are speaking in truth, I can understand you. And right. If I can't follow what you're saying, I think it's not true.
Wow.
And that's the new reality. So I don't know, maybe even with Biden talking on television, I was like, I can hear this. Whereas if you watch Trump, you just get like, you feel like you want to claw your body. You're just like, what's happening?
Nothing makes sense. I feel like that's so good for me to hear. And I feel like it'll be so good for a lot of women in particular to hear. Because I know for me, my instinct is like, if I'm confused, I'm not getting it. If I'm confused, it's a me thing. But I'm a smart
person. Right, you put it
person.
On you.
Yeah.
I mean, unless it's quantum physics, we should be able to understand what you're talking about, you know?
Yes, and true intelligence can be communicated in a way that is simple. If it cannot be distilled into something simple, then...
You're probably being bullshitted, probably. Or somebody is just, like, leaning way too hard in some, you know, some cerebral place in their brain that isn't connecting with you as a human being, but... Anyway, so that's my new thing. It's like, I actually, if I'm confused by you or I don't really understand where you're coming from, something's not clear with what's you're communicating. Mm-hmm. And that's now my new red flag. Anyway, so I sent her this email and I said, I wanted to say I had a lot of clarity. After a follow-up reading, I felt very confused, this is what I wrote, by it because you didn't seem quite present. Then 9 months later, I talked to a few other people from the retreat and they said they figured out that you had searched obituaries online and used that info to make it sound like you were contacting our family members. I didn't want to believe it, but then I found the obituaries you must have referenced in our recording with the exact facts and the reality was undeniable. To make this right, I am kindly requesting a refund for the retreat and the follow-up reading. This was, and then I just did the math. It was this plus this equals this total. You can send it to, and I gave my email, my email, which is my PayPal, or if it's better for you, you can send a money order to my address. Also, please find attached a snippet from the notes you sent me after our reading, and I quoted her back to herself. And I said, I think you'll find this to be relevant to our current situation. And I hope we both can do, and then I quoted, can do what we can to make it better, which is a chance to learn. Thank you.
Oh, so my God.
Basically, I had talked to her in the reading about how I kept getting taken advantage of by people. And so she used that in the reading. And so I threw it back at her because she did the thing I was going to her to keep from happening to me.
Mm.
So then I send that email. And I'm talking to this woman who I've been talking to whose daughter had died. And I told her I was going to do this. Within 2 minutes of me sending this email, she calls them.
Whoa.
And her husband answers. And she was just like, I wanted to see how you guys are. I wanted to see if you talk to anybody from the retreats. Mm. She's like, I just want you to know that I've been spending a lot of time with people in hospice. And I don't know, have you ever been around people that have died before? Trying to like basically make herself sound like a good person. And he was on the call being like, yeah, my daughter.
Yeah, right?
Right.
And so then from what I hear, she starts calling all these people from the retreat trying to figure out who I talk to.
Whoa.
Then she starts calling me. And I just respond back and I was like, I do not want to speak to you. You can either refund me my money or not, but that is your decision. And she wow. wrote me, then she wrote me this and I was like, but I don't want to talk to you ever again. I'm just saying I would like a refund. Then she wrote me one of the longest emails I've ever gotten from somebody. I mean, and I've sent crazy emails before, so, you know, I know what it's like to send a crazy email. This was like truly insane because she's also a liar, right? Like, so she sends me this crazy email saying like, as a psychic, nobody believes her and that it's happened so much. And she's like quoting all these things. And then she says, but I do have a policy that if somebody's not satisfied, I'll give them their money back.
Mm-hmm.
And then she also said in it, this timing feels so right because I'm making a career transition. And I was like, so I just responded, thank you. I'm so glad the timing feels right. And I was like, I have a long history of discounting my own intuition and having other people discount me. So I understand that this could be hurtful because she said I was hurting her feelings.
Mm.
And I was like, I understand that this could be hurtful if you are operating in honesty and integrity. But I said, in my situation, you gave me a totally false reading. And then the next day gave me a reading with only specifics that came from an obituary and an article I found on the internet. I listened to the tape a couple of times to see if there was something bigger there outside of those facts, and there weren't. The follow-up appointment was non-specific, and I didn't have the courage to ask for a refund at the time. I am honoring my timing, and I'm asking for a refund now. PayPal works. And then she wrote another crazy email, and then she sent me the money. Here's the thing. She was then sending emails also to this woman simultaneously that were also insane. And they were like, should we ask for our money back? I said, yes, but you need to wait 1 week. Mm-hmm. I was like, she gave me my money. You got to wait 1 week or else she's going to like freak out and just like disappear. I was like, I think she'll give it back to you. So they waited 1 week. And then they were like, hey, you contacted us. We thought that that was very strange. I'm blowing up what happened, but she said it's fine. We thought it was weird that you called us, but since you called us, we were really dissatisfied with our retreat, and we were like, our money back. And then she sent them a money order.
Oh my God. Amazing.
Holy moly. So she got her money back.
Do we think she's just like trying, she hopes that by sending you the money back, you won't spread the word that she's a fraud? Is that?
Yes. Yeah. I think, yeah. And because from what I understood, she had a retreat happening that weekend, right? And so she's probably just paying me back with the money she just got right from somebody going on the retreat. And, you know, and she was calling people asking who had talked to who, like 2 minutes within the email.
Wow.
Yeah.
So fascinating.
Bitch. Sorry. So yeah, I got my money back.
Congratulations.
And I wanted to buy a piano, but instead I just paid my bills. So.
Oh man. Do you feel like the journey's done, or do you feel like kind of, should I keep blowing up her spot to make it so it doesn't happen to other people? Like what is the journey?
It's done for me.
Yeah.
And in other violating situations that I've had, I often find, and this is just my personal power as a human, and I'm just going to stand by it, that if I call somebody out for doing something that's out of integrity and they don't change, they like in clockwork, like 2 to 3 years later, they're done. Like mm-hmm. they either get publicly called out or it catches up to them. But I don't believe it's my job to, I think it's more powerful to speak up in a moment rather than like taking on a campaign to out people. I will tell people, like, if anybody asks me about it, like what her name is, and just steer clear. But, you know, I'm not God in this situation.
Yeah. Oh, it feels so good when that house of cards finally does collapse, too. I had that happen, and I just, you know, I could really masturbate to it, to be honest.
It is a horny sort of thing.
Yeah, right.
What's your final conclusion? How do you feel now?
I think the biggest conclusion is the truth, and how that is now my new barometer. If I find you confusing, the lack of clarity is something that it's not my job to try to project my own clarity and my own wisdom. You know, it's like I do all this work to understand people, and I'm like, oh, maybe it means this, maybe it means that. Whereas it's, what if it means this person doesn't know what the hell they're talking about?
right.
Maybe this person isn't ready to, this could even be applied to like work situations. Like if I'm confused by you, they're not like in a clear place to be operating with.
That's such an important thing to remember, is that if you feel confusion or if you feel discomfort or you feel like something's off, like the person who's making you feel that way is probably the problem. Unless we're talking about like really healthy growth stuff, because it can be hard to know the difference sometimes. But generally, I think trust your own body.
Yeah. And for like, say like complicated conversations with friends that make you want to run and hide, there's more of a history of this person actually like wants the best for you, right?
Right.
Or they are safe versus a gut reaction you have with somebody, which I think we're trained, especially women, from very young ages to let other people violate our boundaries. It's like, if you don't like someone, they're like, oh no, just give them a hug. It's your uncle so-and-so. Give them a hug. Be a nice girl. Whereas when I like look at my childhood and I see like my gut reactions to some of my relatives, that they were accurate. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to be touched by that person. And we train kids out of what they know to be true. Right. And I think it starts from childhood. And I think every human's born with like a very, very close connection to what their truth is. And then adults just talk them out of trusting that.
Well, good on you for learning how to trust yourself more and for taking your fucking money and power back.
Yeah. And, you know, ultimately, this was like a very, it's like such a microcosm of how it works. And like, I'm lucky in this situation. Like, I listened back and I was like, so many worse things happen to people. But she is taking people and grief's money. And that's, yeah, you know, no matter how little money that is or how big money that is, it's like, it's wrong. I wasn't interested in fighting with her either. I think, okay, that would be the last thing I'd say, is I wasn't interested in entertaining her lies at all. I was like, either you give it back or that was the email. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I think that that's like really powerful. You can just even do that with like a person that's you're fighting with, you know, just like, this is the reality. This is my reality. This is what happened. You either this or this.
Yep. If you won't communicate the way that like is healthy, then we're not going to communicate.
Yes. But anyway, so I'm starting a psychics service. Anybody?
Okay, this is great. This was great. Thank you so much, Noelle, for coming on and telling us that story.
Thank you guys for having me.
Noelle, what's your social media handle?
I'm on Instagram at Noelle Wells, Twitter at Real Tom Hanks with a Z. I am NoelleWells.com. I am Noelle Wells. Bye.
Bye, Noelle.
Well, that was rewarding. That was a rewarding ending.
Feels good.
What do you think, Megan? Would you join the psychic?
Absolutely.
Tell me more.
If she would have been my girlfriend back then and was like, come on this retreat with me, I would have been like, I'm already packed, waiting by the front door. Let's go. I love psychics. I love retreats. And I love the thought of talking to dead people for a whole weekend. So it's all of my, you know, favorite things. And celebrities are there. That's fun. There's so many fun things that went into this little weekend. So yes.
I don't believe in psychics.
Nope.
I don't believe you can contact dead people.
Nope.
This is not the kind of group that I would join.
Have we had any groups that you would join yet?
Yes, we have. I would join Nexium.
Yeah.
Right? Like any group that's about like ambition, uh-huh, or like facing your shit, like that's the kind of group I would join.
Yeah. Okay.
But when it comes to paranormal, like supernatural stuff, like I'm just not, I just don't believe it.
I mean, I want to sit in a circle playing a harp, just talking to the other side. Even if it's fake.
I mean, I also want to play a harp, but that's separate from the ghosts.
Okay, well, thank you so much for listening this week. We can't wait to talk to you next week. But in the meantime, remember, follow your gut, watch out for red flags, and never, ever trust me.